Welcome to the Total Nerd List Podcast, the podcast where we make lists and be nerds. I'm Tom.
I'm Reggie.
And I'm Shane.
And this week we are doing favorite voice actors.
Voice acting talent.
With a multi-gendered actor. All actors.
Oh.
But
every single one of them.
Yes. I will say one thing looking into this that I noticed is a very white male industry. But there are definitely some people in there who are shining lights that I want to look into. I feel like we're all cartoon fans.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all involved in drama of some sort. Even now, but drama classes. Shane, you were a theater major, correct?
Yes.
I started off as a musical theater major and then switched.
So you took college acting classes?
I did, too.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, anyone who's been in those high school acting classes, knows they played the game where you get in the car and improv and you get to do different voices. Between the cartoons everyone listening who's been listening from the beginning knows I'm a huge cartoon fan and I've always been one. So voice acting has played a huge part of my life. And then just being in drama, I feel like, predisposes us to enjoy this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, for sure.
And respect it as a trade. Over the last year or so, there's been some, controversy about voice acting and certain people voicing certain characters and how certain accents, play into certain stereotypes. There are a lot of things to be celebrated in voice acting. And
it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's so cool how, you can sound like this normally talking and then to completely change it.
Well, and I feel like the cool thing about animation is probably, you see all these stalwart shows that were just people having fun together, basically, mm-hmm. like five people doing the entire show. And unfortunately that led to some white men doing some voices that led to stereotypes, but I feel like we've had a pretty good reckoning with that over the last year. And it's still just, anyone who can do voice acting deserves mad respect. I love watching YouTube videos of voice actors just going between, like they're like these interviews that I watched growing up, but with all the Simpsons actors like sitting on a stage together, just like going into their different voices. And I thought that was so cool.
I love when they go into all their different voices. I also love like watching them, like their actual process when they're in the studio and they have the scream because, they have to talk when the character's mouth moves and they still have to say the right things that's on their script. So I love to see that.
I think it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I really love doing voices. I think it was a coping mechanism and a defense mechanism. If I could make people laugh, they were less likely to pick on me. So I started doing voices and I started mimicking shows and the mm-hmm. different voices that characters would do. And
I feel like that's a common defense mechanism. And
it is a common defense mechanism because it works.
Yeah.
I was just savage when I was younger, so.
I was not.
I forgot what show.
I would be hurt later, but.
I forgot what show I was watching, but I watched like the pilot of a sitcom and her boyfriend was like someone who was never stopped doing impressions. And I was like, maybe I shouldn't do impressions all the time because of that one episode.
No.
No, you should do them all. I do them often.
Yeah, I do.
He like didn't turn it off though. Like his daily talk, like he conversated in voice acting.
Corey and I, my husband, we converse. Speak in quotes. Is what we call it. Like, we quote movies and TV shows, and like that's how we communicate. And even with some of my friends, like we communicate through GIFs of shows. One quote from a TV show. It's almost like that Star Trek episode with the alien dude who they can't communicate with,
mm-hmm.
Tanagra on the ocean, Jalad, his arms wide. Do you know
Which
what I'm talking
series?
About? The Star Trek, The Next Generation.
Maybe I'm not familiar with that one like I am the others.
One of my favorite episodes. You have to see it. But it's like you say one quote from one TV show, and then a person immediately knows the exact like feeling, the what it's supposed to like represent, and blah 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 blah.
So, Allison and I do that all the time. I mean, that's like our love language.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a love language.
Just throwing out something you watch together, so they'll just crack up in the middle of work.
Well, and you work sometimes it's hard because my mom thinks that we're talking about her.
Oh,
like, no, Ma, we're not talking about you. That's like just how we communicate. I mean, Corey and I have been together for 15 years and she still thinks that we're talking about her sometimes because we talk in quotes, our secret language, as she calls it. But anyway.
But yeah, I feel like I was raised by voice actors.
We all were.
Of course.
Did you watch a cartoon as a kid? Then yes, you were raised by voice actors.
And it's just amazing. Being active on our Instagram, some of the things that pop up are just like people and all the characters they voiced. It's just wild how like intertwined that. Because you know, one reason why I want, and I'll go into it later, but like I feel like people talk about all the Star Wars characters, like not really having much of a career after Star Wars, and people completely ignore Mark Hamill's voice career.
But some people might.
Not all of us.
But before we get more into voice acting, Reggie, what have you been doing this week?
Oh, nothing.
You didn't order anything?
No, I didn't get nothing. I have been playing a bunch of Pokemon Unite, which is the team...
I'm so frustrated by the game.
Why?
Because I'm bad at it.
Well, then play with us, because Corey is really, like, obscenely good at it. And then I'm okay. I'm decent. Corey's really good.
I'm bad at those games where you're supposed to, like, you know, each one has a recharge, and you're supposed to basically just get into a rhythm of pressing buttons.
Well, there's some... finesse to it too. Like, you gotta know when to hide and when to go and when to pull back.
I just get rolled on, and maybe I'm just like too up front of a
person.
Are you
too much of a Leroy Jenkins, and are you just charging?
I'm too much of
a
Leroy Jenkins, but also apparently there's this really good combo for Gengar.
Oh, really?
Where if you do Sludge Bomb, it gives them a status effect, and when they have a status effect, you can use Hex every 1 second. So that's like something I was trying, but I was really bad at it. And I guess because I wasn't doing the fast move at the same time, I was missing out. Because, I mean, it's literally, it comes down to damage per second.
Did you guys get your Zorora?
Yes, I did, because I started playing exactly a day ago.
It's that mythical yellow electric cat looking one. It was in your mailbox. So that's the one I use. I don't know if it's OP or what, but I really like using that one, and then I also have been saving my points to get Gardevoir, because I really want Gardevoir!
Well, I think that might be a fun game to play in the same room as the other people you're playing with, and I think this weekend we should give that a shot.
Yeah, all three of us, yes. So I've been playing a lot of that, and then I also, every now and then, after buying games, you get those gold coins in the game store on the Switch, so I cashed in a bunch of my coins that I had saved up and got a game called Blossom Kingdom and the Tale of the Sleeping King, or Blossom Legends or something like that. It's basically the Super Nintendo Zelda game, Link to the Past, but the main character is a girl named Lily.
I thought you were going to say Blossom.
I thought her name was also going to be Blossom, but no, it was Lily, and it's Blossom Kingdom, and everything is like flower themed, but it's basically that exact game, which I love, a good Zelda style game. And so I've also been playing that, and then I also got the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Beyond the Grid Deluxe Edition hardback.
Maddie. That looks amazing.
Maddie Morphin.
And
Turtle Nord list.
Turtle Nord. This is the Power Ranger, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers comic 31 through 39, and then the 2018 anniversary special. And it is real good. I mean, I have all of these comics in individual forms, but at one point, the comic shop lost one of mine, so I was missing a number. No. So I got to a certain point in the Ranger comics and that I couldn't I mean, I guess I could have gotten a digital version of it or whatever, but I just got, I got out of
If you have a physical one, you can't have a physical, if you can't, yeah, blah, 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 where it's, exactly. If you have a physical one, you can't have a digital one.
Just like one digital one? Yeah, yeah, you can't. So I've just, I decided after enough period of time, enough time had gone by that I'm going to start getting just the hardback versions of all of them together. So that way the whole storyline is also in one. One fluid story, just yes. Like the Beyond the Grid hardback is the Shattered Grid hardback story that I have is literally the Shattered Grid story in order with both the Mighty Morphin and the Go-Go mixed together so you can read it exactly how it was intended, which makes the story just so much better.
And then you can loan it to your trusted friend Thomas.
Trusted friend Thomas and Shane.
Yes.
And I'm happy to. They're trusted friend Lala. I've also.
Y'all don't get that joke yet.
I'm also going to be in a two-person production show of Greater Tuna with the Beanstalk Community Theater here in town. Me and one of my other, our other friends, I guess we all know
him.
Yes. It's a show that takes place in Tuna, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of us, Chris and I, will be playing about 7 to 8 characters a piece with rapid costume changes. And it's just a show about these horrible, stupid, people in Texas and their worldview, but it's a comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
So I've also been really starting to crack down on trying to start learning my lines and getting stuff ready. I've got a program on my phone that Shane helped me get where I'm going to start recording my lines so I can start listening to it when I'm in the car. And so the show's supposed to be in October, so it's not a lot of time. And I'm going to have to be a little less hands-on with the podcast because the show is going to be taking over a lot of my life. But I'll still be here. I'll still be doing stuff.
You should go skating while you listen to your lines.
We should go skating, Thomas. It's been like, I don't know.
It's been a while, but I'm telling you, you could go skating on your own as well.
No.
I was going to say, and invite your
trusted
friend
Shane. I don't
want to
hang out with you while you're listening to your lines.
Well, I can't skate. Well, not well, but... And I don't own skates. So.
I'll just be sitting there skateboarding while you listen to your lines and rollerblade going. I was going to ask, though, is there more tuna in Greater Tuna than there is in a Subway tuna sandwich?
Yes. Isn't there, like, none in a tuna sandwich?
I think they found out that...
They can't decipher what's in it exactly.
I thought they found out the Subway tuna salad was cake. No, wait, that was their brand.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Subway, don't sue us.
Yeah. If you'd like to change our mind, Subway, sponsor us.
I mean, we're objectively right, so go ahead and sue us because we're going to win.
Ouch. But anyway, that's been my week. Shane.
Well, so a few things this week. One thing I'm really excited about because it just came out the day of this recording, but when you guys hear this, it'll be 2 days ago, and I hope you've watched it. But my unboxing video of the 16 Goosebumps books that I received from family members is out.
Definitely watched it.
It's live on YouTube.
Been tagged in it.
I was tagged.
Yes.
I think.
But which ones did you get?
Watch it and find out.
Yeah, you gotta watch it and find out. I got 16.
Don't spoil it today. Let's review them next
week. Let me just ask, did you get the one where the guy was being made into a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on the cover?
No.
I was terrified of that cover when
I did
I was
not
little.
Get that one. But that's okay.
That's how I relate to
I got several cool ones. You should check it out. It's on our YouTube page, Total Nerd List. I've also been nerding out on, so Animal Crossing New Horizons gave us an update that really gave us absolutely nothing.
Again?
Yeah, again, after 90 days of waiting.
They working on Pokemon and Metroid.
Snap. Did you guys see the...
Yes, we get a Pokemon Snap update.
With new levels.
So I can blow the dust off my Snap.
And finally get past stage 2, because I still have not gotten past
it. I've unlocked like 3 or 4 more stages past it.
Okay, full disclosure, I forgot that we had that game. Like, things have just been so busy.
This sounds dumb, but the different levels in different level, like where you're like a level 2 in one level and you're a level 3 in another map... In the game, that was like a deal breaker for me. I think that's so dumb.
Yeah, it was a little difficult. It should have been one level.
But it should just be like a level 21.
We keep cutting off Shane.
No, it's okay. So yeah, no, that's actually going to be my next thing is that we get the Pokemon Snap up there. And speaking of Pokemon, like I mentioned before, I started playing it a day ago. I like it. I, you know, literally only played it once, so I have to get better and get more Pokemon unlocked, but I got that legendary one, and I can't wait to play more. It is really fun.
They give you enough coins out the bat that once you've played, I don't know, three or four rounds, you should be able to have enough to buy one additional character.
Well, I mean, actually, I got like four or five unlocked.
Yeah, I have a bunch unlocked too, but then... But
there's a lot more that I want.
Yeah, I wasted all my coins on Gengar, and I should have waited because Gardevoir came out the next day. Not that Gengar's not bad.
No, I like Gengar.
What's your character, Shane?
Well, I mean, I literally just started playing. I want Jigglypuff, but I haven't got there yet.
Okay. I've been using Gengar.
Actually, and I really want Ivysaur, too.
The Absol. Corey got Absol and loves playing as Absol.
Nice. I also, this month, started my August book, which is Witchbane, which is written by one of my favorite authors.
Oh my gosh. I have literally gotten an advertisement about this so many times.
It's because we talk about it.
Is it really?
Yeah, probably. I mean, you know how things listen.
is this pro-LGBT?
Oh, very much so. It's male-male romance.
Okay, I was going to say, because this book cover looks, and when I say this, I mean it in the most loving way possible, very gay.
Isn't there a whole acronym for boy love anime?
Mambla?
I have no clue.
No, that's man boy love.
I don't know. I literally saw that like hashtag and was like, what is this? And it was something involving like boy romance or like man romance.
I don't know, but Witchbane is really good. It's kind of a sister story to another series that I read by the same author called Badlands. And I don't know, I really like the way she writes. It's really good. It's really fun.
What's the premise?
Well, this one takes place, right now it's in Richmond. I think it takes place in a few different places. But this guy's younger brother is killed by a maleficent spirit that is making sacrifices for a cult leader that was killed way back in the day. So every 12 years, they kill a descendant of the deputy who hung their cult leader. It's the firstborn. And he is, since his brother was apparently in that line too, he is now trying to stop this cult from murdering other people. And he's trying to save the next victim, which is who he ends up falling in love with. Because there's a little bit of romance.
Yay!
But it's supernatural romance, and I love it.
Does he love him back?
Yes.
Yay!
That's fine. I mean, pretty much.
Supernatural romance.
Mm-hmm. Wait, well, supernatural romance and the fact that there are supernatural elements, but there is still a romance element to the story as
Shane,
well.
Keep it in your pants.
Wow, Shane, we don't need that much detail.
Neither of them are a vampire.
Or a werewolf.
Exactly.
Darn.
And, well, see, okay, so supernatural romance is an actual thing, but because I've been doing a lot of research on genres for my own, I'm just seeking an agent so I can get published in the traditional way that I want to for commercial publishing and make the New York Times bestseller list, blah, blah, blah. So supernatural romance is a genre that I learned exists when a human character falls in love with a character that's like a vampire, werewolf, ghost, zombie, something to that extent.
Zombie? Is that a thing? Oh, of course it's a
thing. Of course it's a thing.
The internet exists.
Yeah, I'm learning a lot about different genres. It's weird.
Jirns.
Genres. I just need an agent that likes new adult and urban fantasy with some supernatural elements.
What does urban fantasy mean?
Urban fantasy is when you have like a contemporary story, so like set in the present, but there are supernatural or magical elements.
Mm. Okay.
So essentially, like if there are ghosts or magic or some type of creature, but you know, you're not set in like a land long, long ago or whatever.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I write a lot of urban fantasy, I've come to discover, and I love it.
Nice.
I also have been, yeah, like I said, searching for agents. That was the last thing on my list, because I had the new video, and then I'm searching for agents and learning a lot about that. It's not fun sometimes. I know it's something I have to do, and it's something I'm going to do and have been doing the past few days.
It's business.
Yes, but there are times where I feel like I'm navigating a really bad dating site, and I read their profiles and what they're looking for, because each agent has, like, their wish list and what they are looking to represent, and it's like, nope, we're not going to be a match. We're not going to mix. You don't like this. And it's like, oh, what's that? You don't want new adult?
What is it when you don't like somebody in the dating app?
You swipe left.
You swipe left.
So yeah, I've been swiping left on several agents.
Swipe left. Until you find somebody to swipe up, right?
Right?
Just remember that everyone is ultimately insecure and non-confrontational, and you can cut in line at Starbucks for any reason whatsoever, and people will let you do it.
Okay.
I'm just telling you. I learned this from the Scam Goddess podcast.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Lacey
Mosley. She's in iCarly, which I've been watching.
She's in the Black Lady sketch show.
Which is amazing.
But that's been my week. What about you, Tom?
Beautiful week.
Yeah, Tom, what have you done this week? What have you done with yourself?
Well, I got a new couch, and my old couch was looked comfortable when you looked at it, but it was actually just a nightmare.
R.I.P. couch.
So we got a new couch this week, and it has made my viewing beneath a blanket experience significantly better. So I've been watching some good shows.
What happened to the old couch?
It went to Facebook heaven.
Oh, did somebody get it?
Someone picked it up. I kind of showed up from work one day, and there was a Honda CRV with people that I didn't know taking apart my couch.
Nice.
And so, that's why he had to get a new couch.
He just walked home, and his couch was gone.
Yeah, it was an IKEA couch, and you looked at it, and you're like, that's super comfortable and cool. And then you laid on it, and you're like, no. There's a board where boards should not be.
Oh.
I don't know. I think I talked about last week, but we watched the Dr. Death dramatization show. They released a documentary after that, and we've been watching that as well. And once again, just more upsetting description. I think I've talked about it with why I can't watch the Saw movies. I can't hear anatomical things that cause people pain. Screws where screws shouldn't be is not a thing I can listen to. That's just... It kills me on the inside, so that's why I can't watch Saw.
Saw's just torture.
I can't see someone dig out an eye. Just things that are painful and gruesome like that just make me nauseated. So I have to be in the right mind state to watch that, but it's very informative. We listened to the podcast about Dr. Death before. Texas neurosurgeon who just kind of slipped through the cracks with the way people are hired, since we were just talking about that with Shane.
So is he still living?
He's in prison, I believe, appealing. Okay. But yeah, it was one of those things where it was like no one wanted to get sued, so they just let him fly under the radar because, you know, when you sign contracts with people, you can fire them, but then they can be like, I'm going to sue you for ruining my career. So then it's just like it's easier to just give him a letter that says he can do spinal surgery elsewhere. And that's kind of what a hospital did. And it allowed him to kill two more people. And it's one of those situations where they're like, someone who knows what they were doing would be so horrified they would never do surgery again. And he's done this 20 times. So it's one of those really alarming cases. Liked it a lot.
My mom also loved it and binged it in a day. Loved it. She was like, she messaged me. And
she likes Alec Baldwin and Christian Slater, doesn't she?
She does. But she also likes those kinds of shows. So she messaged me and she was like, hey, do we have Peacock? And I was like, pulled out my phone real quick and signed up for it. And then sent her the login information. I was like, yes, we do. Here you go.
Aw.
So.
Well, tell your mom to DM me about it.
I will. Mom, slide into Tom's DMs.
Moving on. I listened to the new Prince album on the way out here, and it was because I read an article about it, but Prince has years of recorded music just built up that he never released for various reasons, and that's why he changes everyone jokes about his name changes, but part of the reason why he did all that name changing stuff is because labels wouldn't allow him to release music that he wanted to release, basically. It was kind of a protest, and I recently became a Prince fan.
Only recently?
I'd always had a distant connection with him, but it was really at the beginning of the pandemic. My wife and I always argue about who the best Super Bowl performer was, Beyonce or Prince, and it was definitely Prince.
Well, that's so funny. So I'm watching Drag Race All Stars 6, season 6, And this season they did a challenge where the queens had to do impersonations of celebrities who were halftime performers for this for that big game that everybody watches.
Yeah.
Did I break any laws?
No, I don't think so. But that's how they did it on Drag Race, whereas like they specifically never said Super Bowl, even though everybody knew that's exactly what they were referencing. But one of the queens did Prince and one of the queens did Beyonce. And if you go off of the queen's performances, Beyonce was the best halftime show one.
Of course, if it's the queens. But the reason why I fell in love with Prince is because there was a documentary made on that Super Bowl halftime show that he performed, because it was in Tampa and it was pouring down rain. And the people who were like with NBC or whatever who organize it were like really afraid to call him because, you know, call him like a superstar the day of the biggest performance in the world and being like, hey, it's raining. We really don't know what we're going to do. You expect like a big diva meltdown. Prince was just like, can you make it rain harder?
Can you make it rain harder?
And that whole documentary that I watched, like there were women out there dancing in 6-inch heels. Like they were on top of the dancing world. On a wet stage in Miami, like surrounded by fans and like electrical equipment. And like, as a coach, that is just one of the most impressive athletic feats to me ever, is women dancing in those heels out there in the rain. Anyone dancing in heels. Sorry. Didn't mean to be exclusive.
I'm just giving you crap, Dom.
Oh no, I didn't mean to do that. But that whole documentary about just like Prince, like that is a rock star right there. He didn't whine about it. He was like, can you make it rain harder? And went out and performed a song called Purple Rain in the rain in Miami while people danced on 6-inch heels around him. Like he
was probably in 6-inch heels himself.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, like just everything about him. I loved his cameo in New Girl. I think that was one of my favorite cameos of all time.
So I only watched a clip of it, but I did enjoy reading that he refused to be on the show because the same episode that he was in, the Kardashians was supposed to be in. And he said, I'm not doing this. If the Kardashians are in it, I will not do this. And so they kicked the Kardashians out of the episode.
As they should.
So Prince would do it. And when I read that, I literally like stood up at my desk and was like...
But low-key, Prince might be one of the greatest guitarists of all time, and just have really kind of fallen in love with him throughout the pandemic. And this was an album he recorded in 2010, and it's very topical, which is scary. What did you know back then, Prince? Because I just listened to the first song, but the bass has me frisky.
Oh.
It is a beautiful beautiful first song. I love some funk music. Yeah, that's been my week. I feel like we spent a lot of time doing that, so shall we get to the voice?
People listen to us because they want to know what we've been up to.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't like our lists, actually. That's the number one complaint, is we're just too listy.
Too listy. Too nerdy.
Too nerdy, too listy.
Our parents just want to hear what we're up to.
Too total. Oh god, is it all of our parents that's our downloads?
No, my family does not listen.
Oh.
Yeah, they don't.
My mom listens. And yay. My husband listens. And my next door neighbor listens.
My and wife then, better listen.
And there was a girl who worked at the restaurant that's in the building that I am, who has recently moved away. She also listened. And I hope if she's out there listening right now, hi! But yes, I agree. Let's get to our lists.
Okay.
Do it, Tom. What you got?
Favorite voice actors.
Number one. Here we go. Listen up.
Mine are not in really a particular order, because this was a very hard list for me to make. Like I said, grew up on cartoons, grew up on voice acting, didn't really like live action shows when I was little, so voice acting has had a special place in my heart. So lots of honorable mentions this week. My first two, George Carlin / Ringo Starr. And that might not make sense at first, but they were the narrators of Thomas the Tank Engine. And that was like my thing growing up.
I'm pretty sure George Carlin was like behind Thomas the Tank Engine being a thing. I'm pretty sure that he was like the guy behind the scenes that was like, no, the show has to happen, and like was a big, big part of, because like Nana Visitor was the train person, I think, in it, and he was Mr. Conductor in the show. George Carlin was too. I'm 90. I can't remember.
I mean, there was like Shining Time Station and stuff.
Yeah, the Shining Time Station.
I had like the videos, so like I never really watched Shining Time Station. But like Thomas the Tank Engine was my childhood. I was obsessed with trains. I still have all of my Thomas the Tank Engine wooden railway.
Those things are worth a lot.
Just sitting at my home, my wife is so mad that they're taking up space, but it's like I can't get rid of them.
You can't.
So I grew up on those, and you know, I feel like a lot of people had British accents growing up because of Harry Potter. I had a British accent because of Ringo Starr, narrating Thomas the Tank
Engine. Oh, and his name is Thomas. Of course.
Yes,
would like
of course. It was colorful. I loved trains. I had the anthology of the original, like, short stories that inspired Thomas the Tank Engine. And I hope I still have them somewhere. Reginald.
I'm so sorry.
We're leaving that in for authenticity. But yeah, big part of my childhood were those two voice actors.
If it's any consolation, it was my child's school.
Child's school?
Calling me.
Oh, your child's school. Oh, sorry, I thought you were talking about Thomas the Tank Engine.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was their top hat at the theme park I worked at.
But yeah, I loved Thomas the Tank Engine when I was young, so those had to be on the list. Next, Christopher Sabat. He's the voice of Vegeta in...
I thought you left Vegeta off your list.
I did leave him off my list, and then I had to add him because I had forgotten about him, and he had actually done quite a lot of Dragon Ball Z voices. But Vegeta's my favorite character, and it's partially because of this guy's voice. I liked it a lot. So I had to include him on my list because I think he does Yamcha and Piccolo as well.
Does he do Piccolo?
I believe so. But out of all the Vegetas, there's actually a comparison you can look up for all the different dubs. He's definitely my favorite, by and large. So love Vegeta as a character, as talked about before on the podcast. So I had to include him because his voice is... I wish I had Vegeta's voice. So grisly and authoritative.
I don't know. I don't watch Dragon Ball Z.
You'll have to look it up. It's not
I've
a voice.
I've seen it. I just don't... I can't place it.
I feel like it's not a voice a normal person has if they have a regular voice box.
I mean, it's a broody voice. It's a broody, gruff voice.
Broody, gruff voice. And I've always liked Vegeta as a character. So I love all of the Dragon Ball Z dub actors, some of my favorite voice acting. So that's why I had to include it on my list. There were some other more sentimental ones that got left off because of that. Next up, Ashley Eckstein. She does the voice of Ahsoka
Tano
on Clone Wars. And I've said certain things about how I don't see Ahsoka being plausible as a character in the Star Wars universe just because of other things that have been on screen. But she's also one of my favorite characters, even if I don't think she's very plausible in just future interactions in the series. But she's also a huge advocate for child mental health. Mm-hmm. And through her organization, I don't have the statistic right in front of me, but it was something like it was basically a large amount of children have a mental health issue that affects them in a significant way, but less than half of those people ever get help. So it's like a large portion of people have this problem and very few of them are getting help. And just, you know, mental health at that age, I feel like we put a lot on high school students that really has ramifications later in life. So seeing someone stick up for their mental health is definitely always beautiful to me. And that's why she's on my list. Next up, Tim Curry. had to put him. Nigel Thornberry was, I feel like that was like when I got into voice acting, was like pretending I was Nigel Thornberry.
Nigel Thornberry.
Hello. Hello. But I just love Tim Curry. He would have to do a lot to make me hate him. And I hate that he's not been able to do much at this stage in his career because of health issues. But, you know, there are so many characters that have been voiced by Tim Curry over the years. And I love him.
I like him as Ben Ravencroft in Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghost.
Scooby-Doo.
And he's done other voices within Scooby-Doo, but Ben Ravencroft was my favorite he ever did.
Well, last but not least on my list is Cree Summers.
I love Cree Summers.
And she's specifically on my list. She was Susie. It was really hard for me to narrow down the Rugrats voices because I loved...
Oh, she's also Elmira.
She's Elmira. Elmira. She's Penny from Inspector Gadget.
She's been a lot of characters. And I specifically chose her because of what I talked about early in the episode, that I feel like voice acting was a very white industry, and she's been a black female in the industry for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And has a ton of characters across a ton of people's childhoods. That I mean, I was looking up ones, and she has been everywhere. Has been everywhere. So I could not leave her off my list because of that. But really quick, for all of my honorable mentions, from The Simpsons, Dane Castellaneta and Hank Azaria.
Of course.
Love both of them, and learned that you can get your vocal cords insured because of Hank Azaria.
Yeah, I mean, it's how he makes his living.
He hates doing Duff Man because he almost blew out his vocal cords, and that's like when he got them. He couldn't talk for a week after doing Duff Man, and got his vocal cords insured after that.
Really?
I would be petrified and never again.
I love Hank Azaria, and especially how he handled the I feel like he really handled the Apu controversy with class.
Yeah.
Instead of digging in his heels and being a jerk about it.
Absolutely.
Billy West.
Fry,
Zoidberg, everything in between. Mm-hmm. Ren and Stimpy. He's been in everything. You can't leave him off.
He is everything.
James Earl Jones, Darth Vader.
Mufasa.
And Mufasa. Can't leave those upsetting things off.
Mm-hmm. my list. My goats.
But love his voice. Barbara Goodson, who was Rita. From
Rita Repulsa.
Apparently, when they told her to audition, they said she should go for Wicked Witch vibes. And they were like, we don't want you to come back. And then they were like, we do want you to come back. Try it again. And she got Rita Repulsa. But also, she is Mother Talzin in Clone Wars. Star Wars Clone Wars, which I didn't know she was... Because she's passed away, right?
Not too recently, but...
But yeah, she was Mother Talzin in Clone Wars. The Night Sisters. Mother Talzin.
No.
Yeah, that's Rita. I literally, she showed up on a list when I was researching for this, and I saw that she was both Rita and Mother Talzin. I was like, what?
Wow.
So I had to include her. Frank Oz, Yoda. Mm-hmm. John DiMaggio, Bender, and quite a few others.
Everything else under the sun.
Maurice LaMarc. He was a Futurama voice, but he does lore.
Lur, ruler of the planet Omicron Percy I-8.
Yes. he's like a voice inside my head every now and then. Like when I'm mad, I talk like him. So that's why I had to include him. Peter Cullen, the voice of Optimus Prime. Brian Drummond, he did a voice of Vegeta. And he's, if you've ever like looked into Dragon Ball Z memes, there's that It's Over 9000 one. And it's because of Brian Drummond's translation of it and the way he says it. It's really cheesy. Look up Vegeta, It's Over 9000, and you'll find Brian Drummond.
Okay.
And then E.G. Daily, voice of Tommy Pickles. Thought it was super cool that Tommy Pickles was a girl with tattoos when I was growing up. So
what is, do you know what the lady's name is who does the voice of Bobby Hill?
No.
Because that one always, every time I'm told, like, it's that lady's the one who does the voice of Bobby Hill, I'm always like, what?
That's
Pamela Adlon. Or Adlon.
There you go.
Yeah, that's why this episode was so dang hard, yeah. Because now I'm all the way into Mike Judge's universe of voice actors. All of Mike Judge's voice actors.
All of them.
Kathy Najimy.
Ugh, Brittany Murphy.
Lou Anne. Brittany Murphy.
Yes. Oh.
Oh my goodness. Pamela Adlon.
Adlon, yes.
So add her to your honorable mentions, because I know how much you love
every
her.
Voice actor everywhere. Every voice actor ever deserves our admiration.
It's true.
Unless they're jerks. So, who is sharing their list next?
I believe I am. Again, I've struggled with this one because there are so many. Mm-hmm. It's hard to narrow them down. And then I, after the comment of it is a white male-dominated world, and then I looked at my list, I was like, oh, crap. So starting off on my list is...
I mean...
No, but it's just because I didn't... I just didn't.
It's
didn't.
Also because there's not really much to choose from outside of white males before a certain date in voice acting.
Absolutely. So. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with my list, but I do want to pepper in some honorable mentions as I'm doing it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, totally.
Starting off on my list is Mark Hamill. Everybody knows him as Luke Skywalker or the Joker. He also is the voice of Skeletor in the Masters of the Universe show on Netflix.
He has done so much.
Now.
Hasn't he done some, like, Sonic and
so he's funny you would mention Sonic. Do you guys know who did the voice of Sonic in Sonic Underground?
No.
Jaleel White.
Really?
Urkel. Really? He's the voice of Sonic.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I tried to watch the live-action Sonic the other day.
Was it not good? Oh.
I mean, people liked it.
I thought it was supposed to be good. There's a sequel coming.
Uh-huh. Antica Sumter's
in it. It was okay. Maybe I just need to, like, pay better attention and watch it over again.
Yeah, give it a...
I mean, I'm not a fan of when movies do the things where cartoon characters and video games come into, like, the real world. And that's what happened with Sonic. So I don't like that premise, but...
They kind of explained it okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, we were in the middle of a list.
No, it's okay. We were talking... It's relevant. Going back to my list, though, next on it is Jim Cummings. Everybody knows who this guy is. I mean, if you've ever watched anything, then he's probably done it. The biggest thing that you would probably know him as is Pooh or Tigger.
The Pooh and Tigger.
Oh, Tigger. He also does the voice of Pete, like the bad guy Pete and Goofy.
Oh, big, yeah. Like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, guy. I know now. I was like, Pete from what?
from everything. he's also pretty much done any kind of cartoon show that's ever existed. Darkwing Duck. He is the voice of Darkwing Duck.
Mm-hmm.
He even does the voices of Winnie the Pooh and Tigger and Pete in the Kingdom Hearts games.
Aww.
in the live action Christopher Robin, Scooby-Doo, he's the Red Ghost. Star Wars, I don't even... The list for Star Wars is probably too long. He's Hondo.
Hondo, yeah.
That's probably the big one that people would be able to know him from. But anyway, when I was doing this list, I was looking through it, and I was like, oh my god, this guy is my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that I've ever watched, he definitely has been a voice in some aspect of it. Anyway, next on my list is one of... I debated on if she was going to be my very top one or not. But as I was coming with other ones, she ended up getting knocked down a couple. But it's Tress... And I always said McNeil,
mm-hmm.
but it's... I think it's... I hope it's McNeil. It's Macneille. She does the voice of Dot from Animaniacs. She's
yes.
also the voice of Mom in Futurama. She's the voice of... Skinner's mom in the Simpsons.
I love Mom.
She's another one of those people that, like, if you've ever watched a cartoon, she's mm-hmm. probably done the voice of it. Even to the point, she's the voice of Chip, like from Chip and Dale.
Uh-huh.
She's the voice of Chip.
Aww.
What?
She also does the voice of Daisy Duck. She did the voice of... I'm trying to look through her list of things that people would know. Powerpuff Girls. She does all kinds of voice. And
ooh,
a lot
did she
of
do
the
in Powerpuff
one,
Girls.
It says Nostril Dewpoint and Miss Moss.
Oh, she's their teacher.
Yeah, Miss Moss. And then it also says additional voices. No, Miss Moss isn't her teacher.
It's like Miss something.
Anyway, if you've ever watched something, she's in it.
Yeah.
And
several voice actors do like what they call additional voices, which is just how they're credited for several of the cartoons.
And that's just a way of them to do 9 characters and only get paid for one.
Yes.
I think so. Probably. You know? In Garfield, the Garfield show, she's Esmeralda Bub Baker. I don't know. I know you like the Garfield show. I don't know who that was.
I like Garfield and Friends a little bit better. Because the Garfield show is newer iteration that doesn't have the voice of real Garfield, but I accept it because of something else, and I'll tell you why later.
Who's the voice of real Garfield?
Lorenzo. Oh, I don't know. I can't remember his last name.
Not Bill Murray?
No. No, sir.
That's crazy. Anyway, so I had to put her on my list because she was such a, you know, crucial part of everything that I ever watched as a child. Let's see here. Next on my list, Tim Curry, which someone already mentioned. He's the voice of Nigel Thornberry. He does the voice of Palpatine. He did the voice of a bunch of villains from things when we were younger. Like, I could be wrong, but I thought he was the voice of the bad guy in the Mighty Ducks cartoon. And maybe even, you remember the Mighty Ducks cartoon where they're like space stuff?
Wasn't he Hexus in Ferngully?
Yeah, I was going to say, he definitely did the voice of a lot of villains.
Love him so
much. I love him so much. I just hate how everything's been, you know, his health just hasn't been very good. Ben 10, he's the voice of the bad guy in Ben 10, Chancellor Voltrax? Palpatine.
Is that what his name is? I think.
I don't know. I don't remember it. It's been too long.
I did not watch Ben 10.
Oh, yeah, me neither.
I only watched the teenage years.
And then finishing my list, which I was really surprised that she was not on your list as well, Tom, but Tara Strong.
She was in the running.
Voice of Bubbles, Timmy Turner, Miss Minutes from Loki. She does the voice of that pony show, My Little Pony.
She does.
She does the voice of Harley Quinn in the Justice League animated stuff. She also is not the cars that are driving by. I mean, she's been an American Dad. Raven from Teen Titans.
Yeah.
That's the big one.
She also voices Poison Ivy a lot nowadays.
She also is the voice of Ben Tennyson.
Is she?
Yep.
I did not know that.
She does that prepubescent male voice really well, like Timmy Turner and stuff.
I feel like she and Elizabeth Daly were like neck and neck kind of for me, so that's why I didn't include her.
One of my honorable mentions was Phil Lamar. I knew Phil Lamar from Mad TV. He was always in those early seasons of it.
He was
that like UPS worker. Yes. Who was like, hey, yeah. He does the voice of so many different characters in Futurama. That was when I started noticing his name again. I was like, oh my gosh, Phil Lamar from Mad TV.
Yes.
He also did a bunch of voices like just various cartoons that I'll see his name pick up on things. A lot of things by Matt Groening.
Yes.
Like, I don't know if he's been in The Simpsons a bunch, but I know he's done voices on,
I'm sure,
American Dad, and then that Disenchanted on Netflix. He did a bunch of voices in that as well.
Okay, so yeah, he's Hermes.
Oh, and Hermes, yes.
Is he also Hermes's rival?
Barbados Slim?
Yeah.
He might be. Cree Summer, and then Jaleel White was also my honorable mentions. So, but that's my list.
Yay, great list.
Well, I know we've talked a lot. Shane, you want to finish us up for the day?
Bring us home, Shane.
All right. At the top of my list, I had to put him on there, and I wrote down like some of the credits so I could tell you guys what some of these people do if you aren't familiar with them. But Kevin Conroy, because he literally is Batman in almost every animation version that there is now.
And the movie. I mean, the movies. The games. Which makes... That's the only way
his credits are mostly all Batman.
Yeah.
And he guest starred in the Arrowverse playing a version of Bruce Wayne during Crisis on Infinite Earths.
No!
Yes. It was so awesome.
Was that the first time he ever got to portray
a live-action Batman?
Yes. Like a live-action?
I mean, I will say this guy's held on the same esteem that, like, people are like Keaton versus Bale versus whoever for Batman. And it's like,
it's Kevin Conroy.
Kevin Conroy.
If I close my eyes and I listen for Batman's voice,
it's his voice. It always is. I do think now, because, you know, unfortunately he's a little bit up there in age, though he could still be an older Bruce Wayne, but I think it's time for Batman Beyond, and he is old Bruce.
He could totally do. Did he do the voice of old Bruce?
He did. Of course he did.
Have y'all. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, have y'all seen Neighbors?
No. I don't think so.
It was Seth Rogen and Zac Efron, and they were talking about who Batman was to them. Zac Efron was like Christian Bale, and sorry.
No, go
it's
ahead.
Kevin Conroy.
Yeah, it's always Kevin Conroy.
Yes.
They just kept going, I'm Batman. I'm Batman. I'm Batman.
Yeah, and Kevin Conroy does it best because it came from Batman animated series.
I love Batman.
The only Batman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. But like, literally, his credits were 75% Batman.
We should do a Batman episode.
And he voiced Batman from the original animated series through the Justice League, through Batman Beyond, and now, like, in some, not all, but some of the direct-to-video releases.
I feel like everyone loves Batman in some form.
He should have, like, made a contract with DC. Because if anybody's going to do anything Batman-related, they have to go through DC.
Yes.
So he should have written up a contract that was like, as long as I'm living and wanting to do it, mm-hmm. I will always be the voice of Batman. Whatever it is that comes out. I wonder if he has something like that.
You are giving actors too much power.
No, well, I mean, but like, he isn't always, you know, I don't think he's always willing to do some of the newer things because he and Mark Hamill both came back for, you know, like The Killing Joke. And since then, he's done some more. But I do think there was a time where he maybe kind of stepped away, probably to pursue other things, but he's still Batman.
And then realized his bread and butter was Batman.
Yeah. Next up on my list, oh my gosh.
List? Shane, put the drink down.
Turtle Nerd List.
Turtle Nerd
Wars. Well, no, I said that because there's a TH sound in the next person. Her name is Kath Susie.
Kath Susie. Susie.
Yes. You know her as Starburst from the original My Little Ponies. Janine from The Real Ghostbusters, Minx from Jim and the Holograms, Fifi LaFume, and Little Sneezer from Tiny Toons. Most notably, the one I know her best for, Linka from Captain Planet and the Planet Tears. Phil and Lil from Rugrats, and she's currently voicing them. Dexter's mom, Morgana from Darkwing, Cubert Fernsworth from Futurama, Lola Bunny.
Those are just some of the things she does. Man, mm-hmm. I mean, all of those characters, I'm like...
I love her.
I love watching her voice, Phil and Lil.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes, it's hilarious to watch.
I'll have to look that up then.
I love it, and
especially Lil. Seeing Lil come out of her.
Yes. Although I love her Russian accent. I love it because Linka, you know, was from the Soviet Union.
Was she wind?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
She was.
LeVar Burton was
Kwame?
Earth. Yeah, Kwame.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I called him Earth. Like, that was his name.
Well, that's her power.
That's his power, yeah. I was like, wind? She did the voice of wind?
Yes.
No.
I love her. She almost made my list as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she's amazing. Next up on my list, we've already talked about her some, Tara Strong. The credits I wrote down were Batgirl from Batman The New Animated Adventures. Foster's home imaginary friend, she was actually Terrence, Mac's brother. Princess Mononoke from Spirited Away. Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy. She was Lena in Scooby-Doo on Zombie Island. And so much
no,
more.
No, she wasn't.
She was.
That Bayou Temptress.
Oh, she's so good.
Wow.
I love her.
I love her so mm-hmm. much.
Next up on my list is... Actually, the next two, both of them are related to Scooby-Doo. This is like their main thing. And I'm sure no one's surprised by this. But next up on my list is Gray Delisle. Gray is our current Daphne on Scooby-Doo and everything related to Scooby-Doo that Daphne's in. She was also Vicky from The Fairly Odd Parents, Mandy from Grim and Evil, Frankie, Duchess, Goo, and Mac's mother from Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. She voiced countless Young Justice characters. Lola, Lana, and Lily Loud. Wonder Woman from Teen Titans Go and pretty much whatever else animated Wonder Woman's in these days, and Emily Elizabeth from the Clifford cartoon, Black Canary, and several other heroes from DC video games.
No! Mm-hmm. That is
all
so
Gray Delisle.
Cool. That is so cool.
I love her, and she honestly is one of my favorite
Daphne's. When did she start being Daphne?
I want to say, I think it was for What's New Scooby-Doo, so I think early 2000s, because when Zombie Island came out, I still think it was Heather North, but shortly after she passed away, and then Gray Delisle took over.
And how long did Sarah Michelle Gellar do it?
Two movies.
Oh.
Yeah, sorry.
No Casey Keenum on your list?
Casey
Kasem, sorry.
He's in my honorable mentions. But number one...
I'm bad with names. I love people, but I hate names. I'm bad with names.
So number one on my list is the immortal legend Frank Welker, who is the original and still voice of Freddy. He has picked up Scooby-Doo when that original voice actor died. He was Bo Booker and Sheldon from Garfield and Friends, Santa's Little Helper and Snowball number 2 from The Simpsons, Ray Stantz and Slimer from Real Ghostbusters, Hefty Poet and Pee-wee Smurf, Mr. Plot's Ralph and the Security Guard, and Buttons from Animaniacs, Jeremiah Surd from Real Adventures of Johnny Quest, countless others. Like, this man really is our childhood. And
apparently all of the animals ever?
Every animal ever, pretty much.
Wow.
Shane's actually sitting here in an ascot right now.
He's in full Freddy garb.
Oh my God, I love Frank Welker. He's the best. He's just so great.
Let's go, gang.
Mm-hmm. And he's immortal. Immortal.
Daphne?
My grandfather always called us gang when we were like hanging out at his
the
house.
The only time he was
so
not
I
involved
like I was in Scooby-Doo. Sorry.
Let's see. The only time he was not involved in a Scooby-Doo production was a pup named Scooby-Doo. And that's just because they got all different voice actors to be the kids.
Oh,
because
they were children. I was like, wait, why wouldn't he just do the voice in that? Oh, because they were.
Yes. Well, at that time, he wasn't doing Scooby-Doo, I don't think. Because now he's Freddy and Scooby-Doo.
That's cool.
Freddy-Doo.
Honorable mentions, really quickly. Many of them you guys have already mentioned. Tom mentioned Casey Kasem. Mark Hamill, Tim Curry, of course. Jennifer Hell, who's another one of my favorite voice actresses, does a lot for Scooby-Doo. She was Thorn in the Hex Girls. And Dolls Butler, who is probably well known for several of his Hanna-Barbera voices, Snagglepuss.
I was about to say, is that Snagglepuss?
That is Snagglepuss.
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
And Mindy Cohen, who is my favorite Velma, as many people know her as Natalie from The Facts of Life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was Velma from What's New Scooby-Doo through Mystery Incorporated. I don't know how many of the movies, but then eventually they replaced her with Kate Micucci. Yeah, Kate Micucci, unfortunately. But
my dad listens to the 70s on 7 on Sirius, and Casey Kasem does the countdowns.
Really?
So that's where that's
Casey
Kasem like
is a huge
Casey
voice actor
Kasem.
Too. And
is it Matthew
Radio
Lillard
DJ.
Now, or is it?
Yes, Matthew Lillard is Shaggy now.
Okay,
and I like him. I accept
he
this.
He is Shaggy.
He
right?
literally is. Yes, he was Shaggy in the live action movies, and ever since then he's been Shaggy in the animated series. I love him. But that's my list.
I love it. List. I love y'all.
So I don't know if I got to tell you guys the story or not, but I have a very dear friend. Her name is Lindsay, and she teaches art.
Mm-hmm.
And she is in, and I hope you don't get mad at me, girl. I forget. She's either in DC or she's in Maryland, and she's doing like a summer camp.
Yeah.
One of the kids who's at the summer camp, her grandmother like dropped her off. Turns out her grandmother is the original voice of Poison Ivy from the animated show.
What?
No.
Yeah. I told Lindsay, I was like, you better give me an autograph. Yes. And like, ask her if she'll do my outgoing voicemail.
Exactly.
Be like, Reggie will be with you later. My vines have him wrapped, you know, something.
Oh, my God.
I thought that was more Uma Thurman. What's her name? Thurman?
Uma Thurman.
Thurman? Yeah.
We're bad with names.
I'm really bad with names. I'm so glad we did a whole thing on
hey,
names.
I did remember Garfield's original voice actor, Lorenzo Music, and I thought it was that, but the reason why I said, when you said the Garfield show, because that was like the 2000s version of Garfield, is because Frank Welker took over as Garfield, so I can't dislike it, even though it's not really my Garfield show per se, but...
Still your guy.
It is, yes, so...
Well, this was a fun week.
It was. Very fun.
This is one I've had since first season that I've wanted to do, because, like, y'all know voice acting.
There's lots.
Lots of it. It spanned lots of childhoods, and I mean, it's pretty cool that it's timeless. You know, actors fade, but voices
are always going to be. And they're it's so cool how like their that voice is. You know, like with Batman, like that guy's voice is Batman. You know what I mean? Like if I was in an elevator and he said, "Could you push number 3 for me?" I would literally be like, "Is that Batman? What?" Like,
I would have that freak out, then I would mash all the buttons so we have to stay on the elevator longer. Oh my god, I hit the wrong one.
But just so much acting and voice acting, and I feel like it doesn't really get its due. But just, you know, as especially as like these legends pass away and like people who just kind of stepped up and like did it in like a live action movie are all of a sudden Shaggy. Mm-hmm. It's wild how I just love it all.
Mm-hmm.
Thank y'all for listening to us. It means a lot. You know, we're doing this for fun, but the fact that anyone at all is listening is definitely makes me happy. And
just nerds doing nerd things, and we appreciate you listening
and really enjoy doing this podcast with y'all.
Want to shout out my buddy Jimmy. He owns Willow Mountain Woodwork. He does custom furniture. I was joking about people who listen, but Jimmy is also one of those. He listens every week.
Mm-hmm.
He'll always ask, you know, listen to it in the shop. And then when we see each other over the weekend, we'll talk about it and he'll give me his lists and his 2 cents. So I definitely want to tell Jimmy how much I appreciate you, buddy. And we appreciate you listening.
We do.
Jordy Marie Games. She's on Twitch. She's doing all kinds of games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that she's going to start doing that Pokemon so we can all play
she
together.
Needs to.
She needs to. Jordan, do it. Bulbasaurion for our logo. Ooh. We still love it. It's still beautiful.
Might get stickers made?
Maybe. And Shane, what else we got? Mason, his book.
Mason Blevins.
34 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And Shane, our local writer. Shout out to him as well.
Yay.
Shout out to my wife, Allison. I love her so much.
All right. Well.
And don't forget our own socials.
Shout out to us.
Yes. Total Nerd List, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and starting this week, already live, Ko-fi. If you guys want to throw us a few bucks our way to help improve our podcast.
Buy us a cup of coffee. I'm thirsty.
Yes, you could do that. Just go to Ko-fi, search Total Nerd List, and there we are.
Shane also this week busted out one of those link tree things for our Instagram. So on our Instagram, you can find a link.
Actually, it's everywhere. We have a link now.
Like, oh, really?
If you click on our link, you have a choice of where you want to go next.
Perfect.
And everything's so, on
there's something for everyone.
Check us out. We appreciate you guys. You can also email us at totalnerdlist@gmail.com.
Yell at us, please.
Tell us your list.
I love it.
Yes.
Well, until next week. Bye.
Bye.